Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
March 18, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this indeed is the show you were looking for. How do I know this? Because you found it. Anyway, if you're in some other parts of the world, it might be a different day, different time. Doesn't matter, because most people catch the podcast. But tonight's a little different. You know, if you want to participate in the live show, you can by calling in 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. Also different than the other days of the week because I have my co-host, B. Pete, with me. And he's here, and hopefully he's going to be here with me for the full 2 hours. We shall see. And I'm just making facetious comments for no reason. Look, you can call in 319-527-5016. And if not, you can contact me, charles.ocelli, on Skype. If you ask me to call you into the show, I will call you into the show, but you got to send me a message on Skype, okay? That's the way that works. Charles.ocelli, that is me on Skype. If you're not on my list, if you're already on my list, you know. Anyway, I'll call you into the show if you directly ask me to. But if you wish to call in another way, 319-527-5016. You know what else I got to get, B. Pete, is the list of international numbers that they can call in on now. Because I do have different numbers in different countries, so we got to let people know, like, occasionally we have listeners in Australia, and I'd rather that they didn't have to pay to call in, so they can get a number that's actually accessible through their country, which is different from the 319-527-5016. If you got an international calling plan, though, by all means, call on in, 319-527-5016. Now I've said it enough, let me check in with you for this Friday, B. Pete. How you doing, sir? Uh-oh, he might be muted because he was having a bit of an issue with the pollen there just before we went to air, and he might be deciding to cough it out a sec. Okay. Sorry, man.
I was muted.
I called on you at a bad time, but go ahead.
Oh, no biggie. No, I hadn't thought about taking the mute back off. No, it's been a busy week. Rain in and out. Work's been going crazy. We're having trouble hiring people. We need to hire people.
Really?
It's rough. Yeah, seriously. Not only us, but every other company out there is begging for them.
Hmm.
But other than that, I mean, it's been going good. Getting a lot of stuff unpacked. Spent the day putting together a Nordic Track treadmill and used it for a while. Bunch of other crap. Basically getting stuff out of the way and up on the side so I can start demolishing again.
BP with the Nordic Track. You know, we got a treadmill in the house, too, but it's surrounded by a whole bunch of stuff, so we're going to dump all that on the lawn tomorrow morning nice and early, much to Mrs. O's dismay, and trying to get rid of a few things, clothes that don't fit me and Frankie and stuff like that, and who knows, maybe we'll meet some new and interesting people that we can try to avoid in the future as well. So, you know, that's all going to happen. We're going to do a yard sale tomorrow. But Nordic, I don't there picture you, as a Nordic Track guy. I don't know why that is.
Well, it's one. My brother had it. He has. He's got a bike, and I think a set of Stairmasters or something, and or some kind of Stepmaster. Anyway, that's how he gets his exercise. So this one, it works. I mean, everything on it works. I put it together. The thing weighs like 9 tons.
Yeah,
but it can take a lot of jolting. I mean, it's a heavy duty treadmill, so I'm gonna put some miles on it, get rid of some of this COVID weight.
Hey, look, but it's to take a lot of jolting, huh? Well, you know what, before Mrs. O calls in, reminds me of a couple ex-girlfriends. Anyway, I'm in that kind of mood tonight. I'm not gonna go totally crazy. Let's see if we can get something
this
productive
built to
done
take a jolt.
What
I said, she's built to take a jolt.
Yeah, well, no, I wasn't talking about Mrs. O there. I was saying ex-girlfriends, you know. But anyway, let's not relive the nightmares. Nordic Track. Yeah, I just don't picture you on the Nordic Track, but cool thing. I mean, and especially if you don't got to pay for it, because those things are expensive, aren't they?
Oh, hell yeah. This one was not cheap. I mean, you pay by the pound, apparently, because this one weighs a freaking ton.
Oh, they're heavy as hell, yeah. I mean,
we had to completely break it down to bring it over here, so I had to put the rails back on it and the head part of it. It's got all the electronics in it there where your handles are, put all that on. But other than that, I mean, it works great. I'm very well pleased with it. So,
oh no, does that mean
by little get moved into the house?
Yeah, does that mean it's one of those internet, you know, connects to your Wi-Fi deals, or is it just heavy?
It can. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's got some type of modem in it. You can directly wire to cable too.
Nice.
I'm not sure. I have to get in and look at it, but basically just had to put the arms on it, head on it, rerun the electrical connection of one of the arms. So it didn't take long, but got it together. Everything works on it. So you got the incline and all that. So it's a nice model. I'll take one for free any day. Get it out of his way.
Yeah, totally understandable. Listen, I know that Emir was listening to the Short Attention Span DJ Theater. If he wants to call in, just give me a signal on Skype, and I'll drag you in, Emir. But you got to message me there, because I don't know if you want to join and you want to give us an update on what's going on over there. If anybody else wants to call in, of course, I think Emir stepped in the chat room and immediately said he hopes that Jimmy James calls in. And I'm sure his fan club is listening out there, too. They'll probably want to hear from him. Anybody else, though, is eligible to do so. And brand new topics can get on the table. We don't got to talk exercise equipment
Jimmy
for
James.
2 hours.
Jimmy James, the man with a fan.
I love the guy, though, because he is just, no matter what, he is who he is. I love it. And anyway. Yeah, so 319-527-5016 is the number to call, or I am charles.ocelli on Skype. So, anyways, I know that probably Nordic Track is not the only thing on your mind today. Anything you want to drop on the table before we get underway, because God knows even Nature Boy might interrupt us at some point with something creepy, because that's what he does, whether it's naked news or not. And I actually fed him a story. If he doesn't show up, maybe I'll give it to you to read. from my old home state. But anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
That's fine. News this week, the New York Times, after 2 years, yeah, finally admits that the crap on Hunter Biden's laptop is legit. After they ran interference for 2 damn years, basically tried to affect an election with it by suppressing this stuff, finally come around today and admit the New York Post had it right when they reported it 2 years ago. Yeah. I find that just... And then have the audacity to run an op-ed today demeaning America's ability to exercise their free speech because of cancel culture. And they basically are saying that, you know, it's gotten to the point that we should demand that every person has a right to step up and say what they say what they believe, whether it's convenient to the rest of those or not, and not have to fear hearing anything in retribution. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, the New York Times has just spent, what, how many hundreds of years in existence? Well, they've been around, what, 200 years? No, 100 and what? When did they start?
I'm not sure.
Anyway,
but, yeah, the
100 years, I think.
A minimum, anyway, a minimum of 100 years, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're the paper of record. Mm-hmm. And it takes them 2 years to come around and admit this stuff and then want to complain about cancel culture and the suppression of free speech, and their idea that free speech involves not having to listen to any dissenting opinion when you express yours, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
it just kills me.
It's an interesting shift, because I don't know. Okay, when I studied journalism in high school and junior high school, which I did, might find it hard to believe, but I was, you know, a writer for both of those papers. Right. So, yeah, high school and junior high school. And then after that, I wrote for some magazines and stuff independently. But I don't do much writing anymore. The thing is that studying journalism, I was in that area. Right. So I'm in New Jersey. What are we going to look at? We're going to look at the papers in Jersey and, of course, the New York publications, which were clearly more prominent and important in the 80s and 90s when I was doing this. Right. The New York Times was generally thought of as the very conservative and better written paper because it was written on literally a higher level grammatically and linguistically. It's just it was on an eighth grade level, they said, right? And your USA Today's of the time and stuff, that was on like a third grade level, the way it was written. The information was more dense in the New York Times. It was thought to be intellectually more sound. And as far as the news goes, it was thought to really actually cover it much better, right? And then
sure. I mean, that's how they got the nickname, the paper of records.
Yeah. But see,
them and the Washington Post.
But see, when you leave school and then you start to study things for yourself, you realize that they were actually just a mouthpiece for the CIA. And quite frankly, went with the government line, which is how they got the, you know, the sort of label of being the conservative paper. And at the time,
I don't know if I'd agree with conservative paper.
Mm. Well, they got the conservative line because they went along with the general status quo when it came to the government. Okay. And they weren't very liberal. You know, they had liberal writers always, you know, some voice of dissent, but they didn't really at that time. I remember studying this, breaking it down. They made us cut it apart and go, OK, what do we do with the Sunday Times, especially? You could put things in piles. This goes with this. This is, you know, a literal straight reporting. Here's all of your stuff that is, you know, opinion, even if it's not listed as opinion. Here's your editorials. Editorials are slightly different than opinion pieces, even though they become sort of interchangeable at this point in time. At that time, we had to sit there and figure it out, right? And some stuff was very much, if you look at it, you know, later, was touting the government line regardless of what the journalists could have come up with. Now, you have some exceptions to that, and it did seem as though there might have been an honest journalistic effort there if you only looked at the surface. But, man, over the years, I've seen they literally signal the stuff for the Pentagon, for the agencies. They put out pieces, whether people understand it or not, that don't necessarily adhere to a script, but go right along with the reality that's being pushed. And that has remained the same. Now, what's funny is about this cancel culture thing you're bringing up is if I think back to the New York Times of 30 years ago, it would not be involved in cancel culture. It wouldn't be there pushing it and literally, like, you know, touting the opinion that people need to lose their jobs over comments they made or old tweets and stuff like that. And to my mind, the New York Times has joined in on that over the past few years, which I find completely ironic that they would now, you know, do a 180 sort of and make this other statement where it's, I guess it's not so ironic because they want people to be protected from any sort of dissent from their opinions. So I guess that's not exactly all that out of line with cancel culture because that's what cancel culture is. I'll give you a funny examples is like where people, you know, start to virtue signal by what products they buy and all that. I don't usually get involved in that, but it's interesting. And I would say vote with your dollars. It's important to do so. But a lot of times these sentiments that are attached to certain organisms, you know, it's like, okay, that's one way. But if you take a look at them, they actually have a variety of things that they participate in. And you might not like any of these companies if you really look at where their profits wind up going as far as the donations they make to certain candidates, as far as the lobbying efforts and PACs they put their money into. You might not be happy with anything if you really examine it. And I leave those choices to other people, but I've seen the New York Times pretty much join in on cancel culture. So it's kind of weird that they would say anything about it other than let's bash the next big target. Because it just seems to be the spirit of the time. And the New York Times is no longer, it's so funny. I also find it hilarious that they're trying to get people to pay for subscriptions online now. And they're like calling it independent journalism. And I'm like, wait a minute. How are you guys anywhere near independent? I mean, they always answer to their advertisers. And they always answer to another sort of consensus when it came to the editorial boards. And how it is they position things and how often they allowed certain things to be released to the public and all that. I would not say that they were a fiercely independent and free speech agency out there in any of the information streams. The New York Times, it's just not. It's you can tell it's being steered. Now, you want to argue about whether the CIA steers it or the Pentagon steers it or corporate America steers it. We could try and figure that out and also figure out where all those things converge, and maybe that's exactly at the point of the New York Times. But I find it very strange that they would have this sort of commentary and even attempt to defend anybody's free speech, with the exception of their own. And certainly, they got something wrong. As per usual, they get a lot of things wrong. And it is what it is. Is there a reliable source out there now? Is there an objective, reliable journalistic source that exists anywhere? Good question in my mind, B. Pete. What's your thoughts?
I like John Solomon's Just the News website. Him, Cheryl Atkinson, and there's another one that report on that page. It's a good site. I trust it. The Times, I don't know. For them to claim now, you know, for them to complain about the situation between warring parties and the inability to civilly discuss politics and really anything of any nature now because people are so divided. I mean, they helped create that division. Mm. You know, for 2 years they were saying this crap about Biden's emails, you know, depicting dollar deals between companies in Ukraine and Russia and China, and Chairman Joe, you know, being mentioned in them about holding money for him. And it for 2 years to deny it and say that, oh, that's just Russian disinformation, after going through what, 4 years of claiming Russian disinformation with Trump that turned out to be nothing? I mean, they really, I don't know. I think they've lost touch with reality.
Yeah, of course they have. I think Jimmy James...
Controlled as they are. I mean, even controlled as they are, I think they've lost touch.
Well, of course you have, because once you lose any sort of attempt at objectivity, it's gone. So, you know, again...
But they all lost their objectivity years ago.
Yeah, of course.
They've been shilling for everybody on the Democrat side since Clinton.
Okay, if you say so. But I don't remember that at the time, to be honest with you. I do recall that that wasn't quite the way it seemed at the time. But, again, I was only a kid. I think Jimmy James is on the line with us.
Man with a fan.
Let's see. Can you hear us, Jimmy James? Huh.
Yes.
Oh, there he is. Okay. I want to make sure I'm like, they changed up the switchboard on me a little bit visually. So I wasn't sure if you joined in, but there you are. Jimmy James, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay. Yeah, apparently now I have this new thing where I have to put people on hold once they call in. So it's a new thing, and if I don't, they just come right on in. So I got to figure that out pretty soon, guys. Anyways, you're on, though, Jimmy James. What's on your mind? You want to talk about this Hunter Biden reversal in the New York Times, or you got something else?
Well, yeah, that's pretty disturbing, what the paper of record has done for the last century. I think they've been pretty consistent. You'll recall, well, you won't apparently don't know, but they're whatever, their old reporter 100 years ago went over to Stalin's Russia and literally was being paid $1 million a year to talk about how wonderful it was.
Oh, that was Durante.
And that's not even, and he was paid to deny the Ukrainian famine. And then later, of course, the Times went on to
and they won a Pulitzer.
Good work.
Yeah, and they
yes,
won a Pulitzer,
the won a Pulitzer
for their fake coverage of Russia.
To this day.
All participants are muted.
Whoops.
Oh. All muted.
Yeah, I got it. Sorry about that, Jimmy James. Didn't mean to mute you there. Just, yeah, it was a weird little glitch. Sorry. Go ahead. You were talking about the Pulitzer Prize that he won.
Yes, people have tried to have this prize removed posthumously because he was a damn communist agent.
Right.
Anyways, to move on, I'm more interested in the New York Post article by Greenwald, which does a far better example of explaining what exactly has happened here. First off, you need to know that there's a woman named Bertrand that supposedly works in the media. She works for the CIA. She is the mouthpiece of the CIA. Mm-hmm. Anytime there are leaks or disinformation, this is where it's coming from. This is their lady. This is their gal.
I doubt she's the only one, Jimmy James, but she's one of them, yeah.
Huh?
I say I doubt highly that she's the only one, but she is definitely one of them.
She's the one that was running this operation. To be clear, Bertrand and her people were running a psychological operation on the people of the United States on behalf of the Bidens and the Democratic National Party, and not on behalf of the government. Now it's time for these civilian spookeries to be dissolved.
Hmm. Okay, well, I haven't read into it enough to know that she had only an interest with the Bidens or the Clintons, but yeah, as per usual, though, there are people that do this. You know, very much like...
the New York Times admitted it. If they can admit it, let's admit it. It's truth. It's a fact. And well, see, the only reason why they would do that is if Hunter Biden was on the verge of being indicted, or them and their pals in the spookery are planning a little coup against Mr. Segregationist Joe Biden.
Huh. Well, it's an interesting thing, but, you know, once I realize that somebody is bought and paid for, I never trust even when they consent to things. So I got to tell you, it looks very strange when the New York Times admits to something like that, if indeed, and I haven't read into all this yet. I do know that there are different people who have worked on all sides of the political aisle who have been engaged in this kind of stuff before. And we've even pulled up documentation from people, you know, in the 60s that they all claimed were, oh, they're just authors and they're just independent reporters and they're freelance reporters. And yeah, it turns out they were getting marching orders, you know, from Langley. And they were out on different projects. Even at a certain point, the Kennedys ran people like this. it seems like this is fun and games just in the political establishment that goes on. So, you know. And again, I disagree with BP saying that there was nothing to the Russian situation. But here we go.
What was there?
Well, the troll farms were definitely found out, and the attempt to influence
pushing disinformation. About all the crap that they directly accused Trump of turned out to be complete bullcrap.
Yeah, not really.
You know it. I know it.
Not really.
Everybody knows it.
Yeah, but not. Yeah, really. Not entirely.
The troll farms and the other. Look, that stuff goes on. That stuff's been going on for years. We're not talking about the normal Russian traffic trying to screw with our systems over here in the U.S. because it goes on every day, 24/7, 365. What I'm talking about is the stuff that they directly accuse Trump of having a backdoor into the Kremlin to do all these things to thwart Hillary being elected. It was absolute bull. The Mueller report cleared him of it. What is it that you think, other than the troll farms, was connected to Trump?
Well, see, again, you accept that it was a coincidence that they were skewing things and putting out direct disinformation, disprovable disinformation, to undermine the Clinton campaign. And meanwhile, his people are meeting with those people. It's just a coincidence, right? Okay, look. Mueller's a guy protecting the system.
All the while putting out disinformation about Trump as well. That's what I'm I don't understand here.
Yeah, because
Russia
plays both sides
of every election.
But they weren't putting out disinformation about Trump. That's the thing. You don't have a pattern of that. You don't have all these hundreds of accounts that were out there pushing exactly the same stuff and then feeding it back through to Russian media that ended up, you know, being talking points at his rallies. It's not the same thing.
Here's where we have gotten just in politics today.
The internet traffic at that time was measured, and it was found to be that Russia spent $4,900 on your big campaign hack there. That's how much internet traffic left the areas where they do these things.
Officially.
So,
yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, officially. But again, the Mueller report, limited hangout, as per usual. Nobody wants to point to the fact that all these people that get to this level, in one way or another, are backed by somebody. And it's usually a corporate entity. But in some cases, and in this case, it was Russia. And they had, you know, like his, what do they call him, Putin's chef or whatever.
You're saying the Trump election was financed by Russia?
No, I didn't say that. What I said is that disinformation campaigns, which were out there and being run, are not all attributable directly to the Russian government, because there are people that are powerful in that circle that...
you got the PACs that are running stuff like that left and right, too. I agree with you 100% there. There's a whole bunch of players in that game.
Oh, no, but what I'm saying is that nobody's hands are clean. And this whole thing, they protected Trump, basically, here. Because you can't tell me that his people, the government did, and continues to, by the way, by paying a lot of legal bills for all kinds of lawsuits and all kinds of actions against him.
That comes with the job.
Sure
it
does.
When Clinton left and lawsuits.
Sure
it,
does.
It, happens, it comes with the job.
Sure
it gets
does.
Money. When Bush left and lawsuits, the government still picked up the tab for a lot of
and
stuff.
They continue
it comes
to,
with the job
And
of
they
president.
Continue to protect these guys always. In fact, you know, I find
oh,
it
of course.
Ironic that they're talking about, you know, Putin being a war criminal right now when Bush has been convicted as well. And nobody even mentions that. Right? So,
they don't mention it. You're right. And you know why? Because they have taken a mass media-wide pill of some sort that absolves them of any feelings of guilt for the things that they're saying now about Russia.
Yeah, you got it.
That they didn't say about the U.S. back during the 20 years.
That's right.
Of Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's right. And you know what the nice thing is here is that the real, you know, deep motivation as far as all this virtue signaling you see is now. It works out nicely for the ratings, doesn't it? Look at how the ratings have risen.
Well, it does, yes.
So, you know, again,
CNN and MSNBC have no ratings, and they've consistently lost ratings by constantly talking about Trump.
You better check it now.
They know it's a bunch.
You better check it now, Jimmy James, because they're doing well with their 24/7 Ukraine coverage. They're doing very well.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that's because of the war. That's an unusual situation. Maybe the ratings have gone up because of the war. But before that,
look at their overall coverage between ABC, CBS, and NBC. Just mm-hmm. those three.
Yeah.
I've got a streaming service. Out of that streaming service, on one particular mode, I've got probably 60 channels. Four or five of those are nothing but news channels, ABC, NBC, CBS.
Mm-hmm.
They have such a reach like CNN International used to have mm-hmm. because of MSNBC, NBC, Business NBC, NBC Sports. They're so wide now. The coverage that they have is amazing. Yeah. You know, you talk about ratings. Ratings are hard to predict when you have that many outlets for your message.
Yeah, I got that.
And these guys are playing this war to the hilt.
Oh, yeah, they are. And more successfully than they have any other conflict in the past, 50 years. So,
Serious. I'm surprised this one has a generated war bond somewhere.
I'm waiting on it because I'm thinking something's going to have to come up. There's a lot going on here, okay? But still, the system protects itself. And it doesn't matter which criminal's in the White House, they protect the criminal. And even when, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's Obama, if it's Trump, if it's Biden, if it's Bush again, if it's Clinton, they protect the criminal. And it's that simple.
Oh, absolutely. So, like I said, it comes with a job.
Yeah.
Hold on now. Now, Trump's not a criminal.
Okay. That's
come
fine.
On.
I'm not going to bother to argue this.
It's
okay. Yeah, okay, you
seven
win.
Years.
You win, no problem. You win, exactly. He had no ties to any organized crime figures. I give up. Okay, Trump wasn't
says
a criminal.
The
there
man.
You go. Happy?
And, oh, yeah.
And you got that from...
He did building in New York, so his 596th employee slipped a 20 spot to Johnny Smith Boots. Are you serious? The man's life was turned upside down. Every aspect was examined, and they got nothing.
Yeah, okay. They got plenty. They just won't push it because, you know.
Okay, name one thing they got.
Which
name one law he broke. You said he was a criminal.
Name one law he broke. Okay.
Yeah.
No problem, dude. Like I said, not going to argue. I'm not going to go into this again. It is pointless. If you can't
well,
see...
Well, he admitted to sexual assault.
Your ideology
he admitted to that.
Against,
it's got nothing to do with an ideological problem. The guy is a criminal scumbag.
Wait a minute. The one thing, and this is what got me during the primaries when Trump was running and the things going on. He admitted to sexual assault when he said, grab them by the pussy. You know, that's how he...
That's what he did.
Wait a minute.
That's hearsay.
What floored me. It's not hearsay. They've got him on tape.
Yeah, they got him on tape saying that to do that, but it wasn't in a specific act. It wasn't about a specific person, so I'm not even fazed by that. I'm telling
look,
you.
Look.
You know,
the guy is a sleazeball. My point is everybody knew he was a sleazeball, and they elected him as a sleazeball.
I know it.
So let's not
pretend,
you know, that Trump is not a criminal because there's
Trump
hasn't been convicted yet. Now whether they want to convict him, I would think would be very easy in a lot of cases if they choose to convict
Apparently
him.
Apparently not.
And in the past,
Unindicted co-conspirator in various cases.
Impeachment
right?
means nothing.
That's one thing.
The Democrats have taken impeachment and turned it into an everyday affair. Impeachment means nothing nowadays. It holds no significance whatsoever towards a president.
As I said at the time, that was a joke.
Well, it will soon. Help me, God Almighty.
Oh, of course it will, because they're going to go after Biden for a minute, and you know what's going to happen there? The same thing. Nothing. Because they're not going to take out.
You don't notice anything happening, Chuck? Dad, have you heard of what's happening in San Francisco? They fired the Board of Education for being such crazy lefties.
Uh-huh.
Things are changing. The people are sick of it. And it's the lies, the old lies, they ain't going to work anymore.
All right. So I'll just...
People have eyes. They got ears.
Yeah, I know. And just as corrupt on both sides. You know, I mean, when you got the whole family being disqualified from even being able to operate a charity, of course they didn't violate any sort of laws or ethical standards right?
And that was politically motivated, just like Giuliani can't practice law in New York where he put out the damn mafia. All politically motivated.
Okay.
I gotta agree with that. It is politically motivated.
Politically, you think Giuliani being disbarred is politically motivated? Seriously?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah,
I do.
I know that.
Everything ties to politics.
All right.
That's where we're at in this country.
Fair enough. It had nothing to do with him making...
Everything's political.
Okay, so it had nothing to do with him making unethical and unfounded statements in public and trying to gin up all sorts of crap related to things he had no evidence on. It's got nothing to do with that, right?
Lawyers do that. Lawyers do that every day.
Vindicated in the New York Times. They admitted it.
No.
Hello?
Admitted what? That he was correct about the voting
that
fraud that he said happened?
fired against the Trump campaign. They admitted that a year ago in the 2020 January issue of Time Magazine, which is no longer a magazine. It's a website.
No problem. Okay, we got another caller, and I'm just going to not bother. So, here we go. Let's see. I think it's our friend Vance. How you doing, brother?
What's happening, Joe?
Not much.
I'm doing Vance-tastic.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. How's things in Texas?
Oh, I don't know. My mom called me a while ago and said that tomorrow I'm going to go take my brother around to look for a car. And
good luck.
We need to wear our masks because they got a advisory because the air quality is going to be really bad because there's a lot of wildfires going along around somewhere that I don't watch like local news or whatever. So
yeah, is anybody even covering that
in Texas?
Is anybody even covering that, Vance? I mean, are they actually? You said you didn't watch local news, but anybody else seem to be aware of this stuff unless it's burning in their backyard or what?
What, like Texas
said,
wildfires?
I've been outside all day, and I didn't see any, you know, big giant cloud of smoke anywhere in my, you know, lookings around in the sky today. But anyway, I think it's, you know, just kind of this fear porn stuff or whatever. It's like, okay, yeah, there's a wildfire, and the stuff I breathe every day, and just normal pollution. You know, how much harm? You know, how much worse could it be? Now,
yeah, this is
a great big cloud of hazy cloud, like in China or something. You know, yeah, I might have to be concerned, but that's not the case.
Well, it's been blowing into Houston. This is KHOU. 11 hours ago, smoke drifts into Houston from Texas wildfires.
Yep.
So eastern part of the state so far.
Yeah. And maybe it'll get here eventually, but, you know, heck, with all the stuff I breathe in my lungs every day, that's the least of my worries. But
it's around the Comanche, between Comanche, Stephenville, Breckenridge, and Clyde. You know, four separate fires going.
Well, y'all been having, like, you know, a spirited discussion here, and you know, I was kind of thinking about responding to that, you know, when you
jump in
on, but just in the big picture sense of it, it's like the entire system is criminal, so therefore everyone who's involved in the system is a criminal, and I don't care what party they put in front of their name
if
or after
commit
their
a
name,
crime you're a criminal.
If you're participating in a criminal system, whether you know it's a criminal system or not, you're still guilty by association, or you're not.
Could you wait a minute? Could you now? There's a thought. Mm. Could a lawyer take Congress and the Senate to court over violating the laws?
No, unfortunately, the U.S.
Wait, under RICO? No, but do it under RICO. It's an organization, and it's a furtherance of a criminal organization every day. They have been following the Constitution. But they're not. But Congress is not following the Constitution.
Oh, I'm all for your idea, BP.
That's
but you know, Jimmy James would say, "Just take the Democrats." I think. So.
Well, I think you could do it under RICO statutes. You know, there is an organization whose job is to screw you out of your money to float their fantasy payment plan. It's a RICO. It's one big, huge RICO or violation.
Mm-hmm. No, like I've said before, I would love to see 500-plus perp walks out of D.C. Any day now. That would be just fine by me. And I don't care if they got an R&D or in front of their name. So, you know, all of them. But that's just me, I guess. Vance, you were going to say something?
And if Trump is so, you know, squeaky clean and uncontrollable and forthright and virtuous, and he got elected in part, in a great part, on his statement to Hillary Clinton that if I was president, you'd be in jail. Well, she ain't in jail, and as I already said, the legal system is a criminal organization, so you know there's a reason why she's not in jail, and so
there sure is.
It's because every single orifice of the federal government was purposely working against Donald Trump, even his own party.
Okay, so what's Trump going to do to change that? How's Trump going to make the legal
who
system?
Who says Trump's going to? Who even brought up Trump? All I'm bringing up is crimes that were committed. I'm not endorsing him for 2024.
When did he suddenly become, that's just it though, when did it become Trump's party? He wasn't a member of it before.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that happened there.
Isn't it? The Republican caucus changed. We're a different party than we were 50 years ago, 100 years ago. That's just the way it is.
Oh, certainly. Republicans definitely are. I mean,
I don't recognize them.
Left in it.
Yeah, I don't recognize them from even 30 years ago. So we don't got to go 100 years back.
I don't recognize them from 20. 10.
Okay, fair enough. Interesting thing, though, I always ask this question of somebody who takes the position that Jimmy James takes, and I always find it weird when they answer it because it's always an interesting study. What is it that he said he was going to do that he actually did? Because, to my knowledge, okay, you don't have a built wall. You don't have Hillary in jail. Okay.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
You asked me a question. Here, I'll answer it.
Oh, I did.
He got rid of NAFTA. He got rid of TAP. He did start building the wall, of which only 600 miles remain, which it could be completed right now, in fact. What else? Let's see. He kept the peace. Biden, Z weren't running around acting nuts. What else we got?
He kept the peace.
Oh, inflation was at an all-time low. Employment was at an all-time high. Gas was the lowest it had been in 30 years.
Amen.
Gee, that's just off the top of my head.
Gas was not the lowest it had been in 30 years. That's just absolutely inaccurate, first of all.
What'd you say? Did you say unemployment was not the lowest it had been
in
30
said
years?
I said gas.
No. Gas.
Gas was not.
I didn't say gas.
I'm sorry.
Unemployment was the lowest in 30 years.
No, I heard that.
Gas was very low, too.
I heard that part. I thought you said gas was the lowest it was in 30 years. My mistake, then.
Yeah, so did I. No, before
he did say gas. He did say gas.
I thought that's what
he
said.
He did.
But, okay, my mistake. No problem. But as far as the wall getting built, when I've taken a look at this stuff, you know, just from the agencies that are doing this, doesn't look like a lot of wall got built. Not saying that I agree with the wall even, but it doesn't look like that. Hillary Clinton's clearly not in jail. As far as the economy and all that, well, there's different things we could look at there and we could say different things about it. Certainly it was in a different part of the cycle and certain things went on there that, all right, fine. NAFTA, did it actually have time with that to take effect, that whole circumstance?
Yes.
NAFTA
was a joke. NAFTA needed to be gotten rid of.
Of course it did. But, you know, but here we go. A couple of things there, but the majority. Okay. The majority of what
give
he said.
Give him credit for.
I'll give him credit for withdrawing from every single agreement he possibly could, because that's what he did. Is he withdrew from everything that he got?
They were shitty. They weren't the best agreements to be a part of.
And what part did we have in creating those agreements that we then backed out of?
Well, you know, again, if you turn it over to Trump and then you assume he's the change agent, then you know, therefore
no,
he's
I'm
changing
not, I'm
things.
Not. So don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that there are a few things he needs to get credit for. NAFTA was one of them. It was a bad deal. The climate agreement was a bad deal. We needed to get out of those, and he did it. So I give him credit for that. Now, doesn't dismiss the fact that he was the worst candidate that could ever run.
Now, as far as his keeping the peace thing, I find it funny because did he keep peace anywhere? Because I don't fall on the side of saying yes.
Let's ask him here if he's seen any Russians in Ukraine during Trump's 4 years.
He did.
Let's ask Taiwan.
He absolutely did. No. Stop right there. I don't want to even go into Taiwan.
No, I did not. That was 2014. That was Obama.
And
Biden.
And things. And nothing went on while Trump was in office. Is that what you're telling me? Nothing? Because that's wrong.
There was no damn World War III.
No, we don't have this situation that we have right now, but they were pushing people around and everything else and displacing people and declaring areas to be independent, regardless of the fact that they were part of a sovereign nation. They were doing that while Trump was in office, and nobody really talked about it much.
They did that 2 years before, 2014. They declared those so-called breakaway republics.
That's where it started. But was it stopped? Was there still violence in Ukraine? There was. And there was still something going on
in the
there.
Russian parts.
And we did not see
in
a withdrawal.
The Russian parts or elsewhere.
Well, when you take into consideration that the first three solid years of Trump's presidency, they were sniping at him from every possible angle.
Mm-hmm.
His foreign policy, they disagreed with everything that he wanted to do foreign policy-wise. And they held him up at every turn that they possibly could for 3 years at least. The last year was all re-election year. Wondering if anything get done then anyway.
I wonder how that worked out considering
for the amount of opposition that Trump had to his foreign policy, he didn't make things worse.
See, this is where it gets strange, though, because in the first 2 years of his presidency, did he or did he not have control of both houses of Congress? Because I thought he did.
Yes, he did, but he still had members of Congress on the Republican Party that didn't want any part of him.
Ah, okay. That's fine.
Well, but it's true.
Okay. Like I said, there is no fighting against this tide because the guy has control of the entire government, basically, and didn't get things done. There's no withdrawal from Afghanistan. There's no withdrawal from anywhere, even though he said he was going to withdraw. There's a whole lot of...
The first 2 years of his presidency, though, he was under investigation from how many different agencies?
Investigations?
All of them.
Okay.
Well, I mean, give the guy credit for the amount of swimming upstream that he had to do. Yes, he did get some things accomplished. But nobody wants to discuss the amount of obstruction that he had going on, at least the first 2 years into the third year. Of his presidency. I mean, nobody wants to discuss that.
Listen, it's all right.
It was there. It was obvious.
You know, people on that side of the thought process, they like their scumbag, and it's cool. I don't like any of them. I got to be honest.
I agree with you. I don't like them either. And my fear is that we're going to be going through this crap all over again in another year. Waiting to hear whether Trump's going to run, and if he does, having to put up with that.
Starting at the end of this year, when the midterms come through, and it's still an issue. And obviously, he has taken over that party, and that's the way it is. So, you know, even without an office, he's got it. Everybody's got a check with him, basically. I mean, that's the way it looks. Even the people that were objecting to him and calling him this and that and a third thing and saying that he actually stoked violence and he stoked an insurrection, they've changed their tunes. Even, you know, like McConnell had things to say about that kind of stuff. And now, well, you know, maybe not so much. And by the way, I'm going to make sure to caution.
I'll be honest with you. My girl Tulsi is going to get back into this thing. I think she's going to run. And then we can see some sparks.
You want to shock her? I'd probably prefer her to...
She's going
to
take Mitt Romney out. He keeps screwing up. She's going to put Mitt Romney in his place, and that man will never run again.
Romney's long done. I don't understand how it
I'm
is.
I'm tired of Mitt Romney.
You know what? I'm tired of Mitt Romney. Really. Let him put on his magic underwear and go fly somewhere, because useless, pointless at this point. And I'm not even on the GOP side, but he ain't doing anybody any favors. So, you know.
Exactly.
And I'm not on the Democratic side either.
What's this about Mitt Romney's magic underpants? Did I hear this right?
Oh, you know, because of the Mormon thing, you know.
His Mormon undergarments.
His Mormon undergarments. Look it up. Magic underwear. Magic underwear. I'm not kidding. Magic underwear. And also, you know, everybody's got to get together on another planet and meet with Jesus and white Indians and... black people are lesser because their souls are darker. That's why their skin is darker. Just check out the Mormon faith. It's okay.
Is this Mormons or Scientology? Are they brothers?
Mormons.
Religion?
No.
Kind of like Scientology.
These are real.
No, the Mormon religion is so far from Scientology. Well, not really.
It's not that far from Scientology.
Both out of book.
Yeah.
It's
it's both got a lot of science fiction in their book. And they were both started by guys who just said, hey, let's start a religion.
Well, one guy was a science fiction writer and the other guy was historically a con artist, but I guess same thing. you know.
Well, now that was no, that really was snake squeezings in those bottles he was selling.
Okay, fine. You know, and also I believe that, sure, he had to read from the magic plates when he stuck his head in a big hat and, you know, and he could see and relate it to the other guy who could write it down. Sure, why not with the seer stones and all that? Sure, sure. And you got to go to another planet, like I said, you know. Where was Jesus? In Lincoln, Nebraska, maybe? At some point? Anyways.
No, they got to go to the center of the U.S. It's somewhere, what is the geographical center of the U.S.? Somewhere in Kansas or something.
Kansas. Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking Nebraska.
When Moroni, yeah. When Moroni blows the trumpet. Now, I had a cousin.
Oh, no, they ended up settling in Utah. They ended up settling. Utah was effectively a Mormon colony that was settled by the Mormons because they were chased out of other places, and they took over that area. And
then they
all
stayed in 18 and something. They had to give up bigamy.
They had to give up bigamy to join the United States. Yeah. But, you know, and that's another thing.
He probably hitched a ride with the Phoenicians.
It's funny. I had a cousin that was with Rocky Mountain News. He lived out in Salt Lake City. And he'd been in radio for years. And there's a restaurant out there, a chain called D's Restaurant, D-E-E. Mm-hmm. And they sponsored the hockey team and everybody else. And there was one downtown. It's a few blocks from the Mormon Tabernacle. And he said they were sitting there in a sales meeting, him and about three other guys. And they had been drinking all damn night during this meeting. And my cousin leaned over the other one and said, you know what? That if we could hook a loudspeaker up to that fucker with the trumpet and sound off a blow, we could make a million buying up this town. Because when Moroni, who's the angel on top of the tabernacle, blows their horn, that's when they're all supposed to go to the geographical center of the U.S. and meet God.
Right, right. I'm telling you, the Mormon religion, like people just lump it in with Christianity, it's a little different. it is not
I wouldn't classify them as Christians.
Well, Jesus is involved, you know, so therefore
But Jesus is in the Quran, but they're not Christians either.
You know what, that's fair, but he's still at the center of this religion as opposed to just, you know, a greater good teacher, which
when
the Quran says.
When a religion denies the deity of Christ, they're not a Christian religion.
Yeah, but do they deny the deity of Christ? I mean, I got my Book of Mormon here.
Yes.
I don't know. I haven't read it in a while, to be honest. But, I mean, but a lot of the stuff that I just spit out there, I assure you, is very relatable to the real story in the book, okay? And what it is they teach.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but let me go through mine, and I'll find that passage for you.
Sure, sure. I know I've got one here, too.
Does not the Jewish religion not believe in the deity of Christ?
Well, yeah, but
absolutely.
That's
classified as a Christian religion.
But that's
unless you're a Jewish Christian who has taken up the faith.
Yeah, that's
it's
a different thing.
Different sects. I think the Jews have different sects with different beliefs on that. I believe anarchy.
Well, they have a different covenant with God. Is the idea here? Their covenant is based on something other than. But if you read the New Testament, you know. The words that are identified as being uttered by Jesus, he effectively says over and over again, all you got to do is believe in me. And all other covenants are void. But the Jews don't accept that. So therefore, that's, you know.
Well, they do believe.
Basic separation.
They think that their Redeemer is still yet to come.
Well, right. That's what the whole point of Passover is. And yeah.
So they do expect a Jesus type.
Yeah, they expect
deity.
That archetype to arrive.
So
and so do the Christians, but they think it's Jesus.
they think he's already been and gone.
So who's it going to be? Is it going to be the Jewish guy or is it going to be the Christian guy?
Well, and they already think he's been and gone and going to come back. But to be fair, there's a lot of people that think a Christ-like figure will show up. And some of them, you know, range anywhere from they're going to, you know, he's going to come on the comet to, you know, it's this guy who's the grandson of the great preacher that predicted the end of the world or whatever. There's all sorts of different things where they're waiting for a redeemer to arrive. You know, so it's all over the place. But the Mormon thing is very special in that it's and relatable to the Scientologists in that there is a off-world or other planet involved in the equation, which is you know, where everybody's hanging out waiting. The angels there and all these other people are there. And I think even John Smith is supposed to have gone there by now, B.P. I might be wrong about that, but I think it might not even be in the book, but John Smith is supposed to be there waiting, I think, for everybody who is a good Mormon after the Great Gathering.
Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith.
Oh, Joseph Smith. My fault. Joseph Smith. Yes, yes. Joseph Smith. Yeah. You know, John Joseph, sorry. But either way, that guy who stuck his head in a hat and allegedly dictated to another man so that he could have it printed up, the Book of Mormon, okay? Because he was shown seer stones and these plates that had a secret language on them that only he could decode and all that. That's how the Book of Mormon got written.
The plates have actually never been seen by any other person.
Of course.
That's hard to believe.
They've been seen by one person.
But I assure you, at some point, you will encounter the concept of magic underwear somewhere. And that's the thing.
It's their temple vestments.
I mean, come on.
I'm going to start going to Mormon church just so I could get some magic PJs.
Jimmy James, just watch the South Park episode.
Jimmy, you wear these under your PJs.
You know what? That's not bad, actually. Vance, you have a good point there, is when they did the whole thing on the story of Mormonism, they actually condensed it pretty well in that cartoon where the guy's like, let me tell you the story of Joseph Smith. And he does. And it is fairly accurate. Yeah.
Sums it up.
It does sum it up pretty well. Yeah, like in a, you know, in a sort of Weekly Reader sort of way. Remember those things when we were kids, the Weekly Reader that would, you know, sum up something in two pages? Yeah, if you want a two-page explanation, definitely look at Stan Makes a Friend with a Mormon Kid in School that just moved there, and he meets the Mormon family and all that. And at the end of it, it's kind of interesting, too, because he says, I'll spoil the end for you a little bit. The kid says to Stan, listen, I know that, you know, it's hard to believe any of this stuff, and maybe it doesn't matter, but if it makes my life better and my family's life better, then I'm happy to believe it anyway. And if you want to call me an idiot, then you need to grow up. Which I was like, you know what? Yeah, sure. And in fact, that is generally my attitude about most religions. But some things are a little stranger than others. I'm just saying. I mean, when you get into Scientology, like BP brought up, and, you know, you got Lord Xenu, and we're waiting for the, you know, the different alien spirits to leave your genitals, and there are nuclear weapons that were planted here that we're going to blow up the world with eventually. And, yeah, it gets really odd when you look at L. Ron Hubbard's design there. Anyway, and it was like a self-help book for him. Yeah.
I think I actually know more about L. Ron than I do about Mormons, sadly.
Could be, but Mormons are very accessible. You can definitely find out, and probably there's a good copy of the Book of Mormon online that you can get for nothing. They used to go around with the Jehovah's Witnesses in some places and try to, like, convert people. But, you know.
Oh, I told the Sunderland guy. I was unpacking the moving van. The guy from the cable company shows up. I said, damn, you got here quicker than the Mormons. He just laughed.
Oh yeah, that's right. North Carolina is one of those places. They're still, like, doing that, aren't they?
Oh yeah,
and they're really nice people.
Definitely, you got to do your recruiting ship.
They're really nice people.
Yeah,
I sat and talked to those.
Oh, they are.
Full disclosure: my daughter, my oldest daughter, got married in a Mormon church.
Okay,
and. And I don't know how she made this connection. One of them, her husband, you know, had a connection with somebody. No, they're getting married, and anyway, they went through, like, the, you know, whatever little trial thing or whatever, and became Mormons. And then these people paid for their whole wedding, and bought her a dress decked her out and all that. They're apparently, you know, real big on, you know, helping poor people and shit. So.
No, I got you. And, you know, after my grandparents' generation, which were all Catholics, to be honest with you, my family is spread out among religious faiths like you wouldn't believe. I mean, everything from practicing Satanists all the way to Mormons to Scientologists to you name it. They're all over the place, my generation and the generation previous. I think they just kind of said anything but the Catholic Church and ran. That's what it boils down to. But anyway, we may have some other people joining us shortly. We're about to take a break because we're at the 1 hour mark on the Friday night open mic. I'd rather have a religious discussion than talk about the cult of Trump. I'm telling you now.
Let me throw this in real quick if we got time.
Go ahead.
The kid that I mentioned earlier that came to work for us recently grew up in a Quaker community, you know, and for the first 18 years of his life, he, you know, lived that lifestyle and all that. He's been working out here for us for a few months now, and he's got a tremendous work ethic. He gets up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and works out. He's an artist. He does incredible watercolor paintings. Yesterday, they were trimming this big oak tree, and they got the skid steer. I know DP knows what a skid steer is, and you know, we got a pallet on it, and he's up there on the pallet, you know, cutting these big limbs off this tree that hangs over the road. At any rate, at some point, a limb falls off, and it bounces up and hits the door on the skid steer and busts it. And this guy is like, well, I'll pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. And he's telling me he's going to pay for it. And I said, you don't need to pay for it, dude. I said, you know, that's not your responsibility. You know, there is no. At any rate, he went online that night and bought one, ordered one. Then the next day he told, you know, my dad's wife she's like, oh, and she'd already told him, no, do not, you don't have to pay for it. You're not paying for it. But he had that much integrity or whatever. He's like, he wanted to pay for it.
Now, Quakers,
I argued with him for like a long time about, no, you don't need to feel bad about it. It wasn't your fault. That's a chance that you take when you send a guy out with the skid steer to cut a limb off a tree. You know?
Well, I got you, but we're now going to creep way too far into the next hour, so I'm going to take the break. Quakers in general are just really nice people. Richard Nixon was a Quaker, but, you know.
They make good oats.
They make good oats. There you go. There's the line to close on. Stick around. The call-in show will continue after the break, and who knows where it'll go from here.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to The Ocelli Effect at Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com.
Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Revelation through conversation.
When a fan of the Ocelli Effect calls in to the Ocelli Effect.
I just wanted to call in and tell you and Michael Swanson and JP Sicily and all of the guests that you have how much I love your show. Always interesting. It's always informative. I just wanted to tell you in person on the phone. I mean, I love you. I love your show. I love everything you do. I will always be there to support you. You know that.
We appreciate you so much. You have okay. No idea.
Thanks. And most of our fans just send hate mail and death threats.
Shelly.com.
In Denial. Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Uncle, do you remember that time when Nibiru, also known as Planet X, was going to get within the gravitational pull of the Earth and cause mass commotion and chaos?
More of that. More commotion. More confusion. It goes into the confusion thing. Hey, going nut, he's going back, and it's going crazy.
I hate being confused like that.
But that's exactly how he works it.
It is, but at the Ocelli.com radio network, you're never confused.
No, it's straight to the point.
Straight talk.
And I like that idea.
It's about time. Forget this new bureau stuff and listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
.com, and he'd get it right where you want to hear it at. Right straight ahead instead of ding-donging back and forth here.
Ocelli.com.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War
by author Mike Swanson.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
We'll be right back.
expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Revelation through conversation.
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect begins now on a Friday night. It is the open mic, and we have already been joined by the one and only Jimmy James, who has his fan club out there, and we've gotten into some political stuff, of course, and then religion, oddly enough. Seems like they're almost one and the same anymore, but anyways, our friend Vance Vanerky himself has called in as well. And we're now joined by Nature Boy on the Skype, but we're also blessed to have B. Pete with us still. And that's a good thing, even though I guess the pollen's affecting him a little bit. He had to put together his Nordic track. We heard about that in the first few minutes of the show. But that's where we've gone so far. We've got time left, so let's get to it. B. Pete, should we call on Nature Boy right now, or should we... finish out something from the other hour? I know I kind of cut Vance off, but indeed it was just the drag time there, and I just needed to get into the next hour. So what do you think?
How much Nature Boy, how much of the prior conversation before the break did you hear?
Enough to know that screw doing the secular current events, let's keep it esoteric. Y'all mentioned L. Ron Hubbard. So Let's have an open discussion on L. Ron Hubbard and his many fascinating aspects. So I'll just start off the roll.
Okay.
Well, listeners, I hope there's listeners out there that know many of us do, but there's probably some that doesn't. There was a direct correlation between L. Ron Hubbard and Aleister Crowley via Jack Parsons and his Agape Lodge down in, was it Orange County or something like that? So when Aleister Crowley was alive and a direct practitioner of Thelema, which was his main, his creation, but he was also probably best known for the OTO, the Golden Dawn, his work with that, the most darkest, powerful magician of his time, who still influences our days. So the long story short is that L. Ron Hubbard, everybody knows he started Scientology through Dianetics and was the most prolific scientific writer ever, which is, I find, an interesting subject. Was him and Jack Parsons were good friends. Well, they're both practitioners of, the OTO and Aleister Crowley and Thelema. And I believe it was either Parsons or might have been Crowley himself who said that he was a natural adept at ceremonial magic. Yeah. And I find it interesting. And also having a friend who was involved back in the day with L. Ron Hubbard and the OT and the Scientology, I find it interesting that he can come and generate this great organization, not good, but when you look at the definition of great, great organization that is highly controlled, highly powerful, and exists to this day. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to start it up on that and go on mute and see where the conversation goes, guys.
Well, it's interesting to me that Crowley, first of all, is a figure often just associated with Satanism, even though that's not altogether what he did. With his natural adept status and all that, he channeled, the Book of the Law is the channeling with that one particular entity and all that. A lot of people, they skim his writings. I've read a lot of the stuff that is alleged to have been written by him. And I say alleged because I feel as though a lot of it was plagiarized. But one thing that can be said about Crowley is that he certainly created a confluence of dark ritualistic stuff. And all of that comes together in some of these other organizations, these sub-organizations that have continued to survive. He's not responsible for one. He's responsible for dozens. Best known would be, your direct, you know, you have LaVey's version of Satanism, which, you know, the Satanic Bible and all that, that continues to be a prolific organization. And I'm not talking about greatness in size even, but it has continued on, you know, far beyond some short-lived cult where the leader disappears. So there is that. There's the Temple of Set, which is also still in existence, as far as I know, out there on the West Coast. And then there's the Church of Satan, and all of them owe some allegiance to their bedrock, so to speak. And that's just three of the best known. But there's other sub-organizations and secret societies that were developed around ritualistic magic, so to speak, with a K, that Crowley certainly is responsible for. And even some of the New Age stuff out there, where people get into a certain areas of esoteric whatnot, which is how I'll describe it, because it's really a loose confederation of nonsense in some cases, but some of it has a real basis in older rituals and things that were resurrected, so to speak, in the modern age by this one figure. And then he crosses paths with all these other people and becomes highly influential. And one could also say that the Church of Scientology, in some degree, owes its existence partially to Crowley. They won't say it, but they do. And it's definitely a subject that is extremely fertile for discussion, and a lot of people are either afraid or have fallen into the Hollywood sort of representation of this, and fail to understand that you know, this goes in a lot of directions. Yes, the silly kids who do this and that. Yes, the you know, the idiots who run around making hand mandalas in front of people and don't necessarily recognize what they entirely mean, stuff like that. And that ranges from, you know, rap artists to, you know, just people on TV that are sitting there trying to make symbols of ascension and stuff like that, which are all based in a lot of earlier practices that predate things. Even if you look at the sort of representations of Jesus, the way they were painted, the way they were commissioned by the churches, a lot of people don't understand why Christ's hands are in certain forms and things like this. These are signals. These are literal physical presentations that are meant to evoke certain things.
I have an interesting thing to add to that, Chuck.
Sure.
What's that thing that they do, the saints in the paintings, where they got that, like, gun symbol with the fingers pointed up, you know?
As so
there's
above
a name for that.
As so above, as so below. Is that what you're talking about?
No, there's an actual, I believe, Latin name for it, this hand movement. You'll see it in all the picture, the old.
Well, in general, I was describing it as a hand mandala, because it's symbolically, like, generally when you see Christ with his hand in a certain formation, it's meant to signify ascension.
Kind of pointing up.
Yeah, ascension is kind what. Of, yeah, that yeah, that point
kind
is
of
ascension.
Like pointing up or something.
Right, right. And,
well, interestingly, that was actually what Winston Churchill was trying to do, but because he had such fat little fingers, instead he did the V for victory, which would later be adopted by the hippies for peaceable.
Yes, okay, that's true. A fascinating part of that, though, is that, again, you know where you can see these sorts of things to this day is still among the Crips. And everybody's going, what the hell are you talking about? I literally mean the guys who wear blue in the red and blue street gangs. They use hand mandalas to communicate. And again, I don't know where they got them from to begin with, but somebody got educated at a certain point and integrated that into that subculture as well. You can find this stuff happening all the time. And even that V has a whole other significance as well. Which is actually sexual in connotation. there's a whole lot of to the world of symbols that, again, a lot of people are either afraid to discuss or think is just a bunch of silliness because, well, what does any of that matter? But people don't take into account even, like, you know, we use the middle finger here, right? They don't even take into account where that came from, you know. And what are you going to do, man? There is just so much to this. I don't even know where to go, except that you got to say that Crowley, who is often viewed as this one particular figure, guess again, he actually influenced a whole lot of these New Age and, you know, dark orders of all sorts, secret societies. The man was massively influential, even though he was a degenerate. And, you know, some people say pedophile, I'm not sure, but definitely somebody who sexually assaulted people, who, you know.
And you have to admit, he did write the handbook on child sacrifice, though, whether he committed it or not, he wrote the handbook on it.
Right. No, so that's the thing, is that, well, did he write it or did he adapt it from somewhere else? There's the question. But as far as what's published under his name, one could say that, yeah, he influenced every single dark religious thing you could possibly imagine.
Well, even going into the counterculture. And there's the video, if you can find it, I believe there might be the video that exists, but Timothy Leary pretty much said, yeah, I'm continuing on the legacy of Aleister Crowley. There are so many pop culture figures who have been highly influential, who either are direct followers of Crowley, Lifted Riffs, Jimmy Page, or Led Zeppelin. Yeah, exactly. One of my favorite bands, by the way. You know, through Sting, through Thelema. And it, interesting, when I first learned about the OTO, I was 18 years old, working at Kentucky Fried Chicken, and one of my, who became my good friends, was my assistant manager. He was about 24, and he was third-degree OTO.
Yeah.
And that's when I first started learning about OTO and the relationship with that, Freemasonry and Knights of Templar and stuff like that. Well, he said an interesting statement one night. He said, NASA. Right? And I still didn't know the history of Jack Parsons. But he says, oh, yeah, NASA? Oh, yeah, man. We got all sorts of members in NASA. And then once you throw into the history of Jack Parsons, that statement makes complete sense. But the man, even though he's been dead, he is the B666, the self-professed, the most evil person ever walked the face of the earth, according to him. His influence still exists to this day and to pretty influential things on the underlying current of culture.
Yeah, well, a good for instance here is whether Jay-Z is a direct follower of the OTO or not, whether he realizes it or not, he uses the symbology.
He does.
Yeah.
And what gets me about, he uses the pyramid, right? And everybody says, oh, that's the Illuminati, the Illuminati. Nobody has an understanding of the historical part of the Illuminati.
No.
You know, from as Weishaupt, which has strong influences. It's basically the tenets of communism, French Revolution, all that back history stuff. But the symbol of the Illuminati wasn't the decapitated or the capstone of the pyramid.
Yeah.
I believe it was the owl. So these people that are putting that symbolism of the capstone and saying it's Illuminati or think it's Illuminati kind of need to step back and learn just a tad bit more of what symbology is and a tad bit of history. Am I wrong, Chuck? Or kind of, if I am, please correct me.
No, not at all.
I'm just a student of knowledge.
It's such a superficial look at it when it's like, oh, I see the pyramid, therefore, yeah, you're stopping too soon. Where you find the you know, the compass and the other, you know, the two symbols, the cross and all that, and you take a look at the even if we recognize that symbols of authority are literally based on this stuff as well. And it all does go back to, I mean, you know, homage to Jordan Maxwell, who, from what I'm told, suffered another stroke, so I'm not sure if we're going to have him return to any broadcasts anytime soon. But, you know, it all goes back to sun worship. And it does, actually, there's numerical reasons for why it is. You see badges have certain amounts of points on them and everything. So, you know, the influence is not simply just in the darker religions and the darker secret societies, but it's actually permeated the culture entirely, whether people recognize it or not. And Crowley, again, you know, didn't originate this stuff, but he brought it together in such a way that there was a composite one shop stop for all of it. And, you know, the tentacles continue to spread out now. So,
It's funny.
Let me add in here on the, when you're talking about the Illuminati symbol of, and in the right hand I think it's in the right hand corner, I don't remember which corner, on the dollar bill or whichever bill it is,
upper right.
There's a little bitty owl sitting up there in the corner looking down.
It is. When you really dissect it.
Symbology, it's like it all relates to heraldry and all that, you know, the symbols on the shields, identified with which group you support and, you know, your clan and all that kind of stuff. That stuff didn't go away, you know.
Well, I have a question for whoever you guys knows or whatever. So, like, if we assume that the Masons have been around in some form since the Egyptian days, so were they, like, running their own secret society that did not accept, say, at that time, the Egyptian gods and kings, this, that, and the other thing? Were they doing their own thing in parallel to these people? Is that...
Well, it appears to me as though once they finally codified this into the organization that would be recognizable today, it was ostensibly a Christian organization. And I say ostensibly kind of...
It incorporates belief thereof, but to say that it's ostensibly a Christian organization might be a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, but when you look at their Bible, right, which, by the way, most people are not allowed to see. When you look at their Bible, their literal... Yeah, they have their own Bible. It does appear to be Christian, but there is so much more involved in it that it's hard to correlate it to any other form of Christianity. I mean, it's not like Mormonism where it's a completely freaky thing. It is manageably correlated to Christianity, but the other stuff that comes in there, I believe it did pre-exist Christianity, but after a while,
The Masonic Order?
Yeah.
Or you talk about the beliefs there of the Masonic Order that it was based upon.
Oh, no, that's a different thing. Because when you get into the beliefs of the Masonic Order, I mean, to be frank, if I don't have a ring, I'm not going to be able to tell you of it. You know.
Well, they go, I mean, when you go back into the beliefs of those things, those go, you know, people, they go far beyond the Templars.
Yeah.
Templars kind of just rediscovered when they excavated the Temple of Solomon, but you're talking about ancient rites and rituals that go back to ancient Sumeria. You're talking about Gilgamesh days.
Yes.
And what it is just a retelling of a same story that's gone over time and taken different manifestations.
Well, effectively.
In many ways, right. Not just dark, but also light.
But when they became... When they became solidified in my mind, it is under the Christian banner. But no, you're right. This stuff is all predated that. And yeah, they were working with the Sumerian and, all those belief systems. A lot of very strange things that, quite frankly, you can't correlate to any modern religion that were specific to them.
That's kind of what I was wondering is, like, so regardless of where they were operating, regardless of who they were calling, whatever they were called, you know, the Freemasons, and before that they called themselves the Crusaders, what did they call themselves back then?
Well, you have the Knights Templar, which are, you know, again,
the Knights Templar.
That's the guys with the red crosses.
I almost think they were like actual masons, like brick masons, right? Like the guys that built everything. So I guess my question is, like, regardless of when and where they were they just kind of going up saying, oh, yeah, we agree with you, but secretly they got their own thing.
Well, it begins with a basis like this, where you have the architects, right? And this is a very, very serious oversimplification, but you have the architects that came together and basically said, we are able to form society and form these buildings, which society will then gather around. We are like gods. However, there is the great architect. And the great architect designed all things, so this is who we directly deal with. It doesn't matter about the religious order. That's the way it kind of started out, is that we are architects and God is also an architect. This was kind of the concept, the way I understand it. Doesn't mean that I've got all the deep dark secrets, because over and over again I have learned that unless you're actually in, you don't know entirely. But the basic idea.
And all of us could go back to ancient Egypt to see what was going on. But well,
well, that's like the other thing.
Back in the Egyptian days, a lot of their secret knowledge was probably high mathematics, right?
Well, that's part of it, yeah. But then it, you know, becomes, you see all these other people and you're like, well, it's not all architects or masons anymore, is it? Not masons in the sense of a stonemason, right? But they kind of took on the attitude of, we can involve these others because they are the shapers of society. See, this is what this was about, is about the shaping of the way things were going to be done. So therefore, they could justifiably bring in, well, the people that, you know, run the banks, they definitely shape society there. They can come in. You see what I mean? The people that are running the government, well, they need to come in because they're shapers of society, right? So it's kind of back to this loose sort of idea about the sculptors of the world. And the rituals and the things that are really the core beliefs, what they tell you is that we don't say that you must believe in any particular god, but just to join, you have to kind of consent that there is a higher power, which I think is actually fair.
Sounds like the JCs.
It sounds kind of like that, but it also kind of sounds like Alcoholics Anonymous, doesn't it? Long as you say there's a higher power.
Pretty much.
Either way. Anyways, but that's the truth of it.
It's demonstrated in the symbology of the Masons, you know, with the square and the triangle and the compass and all that. It's
right.
That's part of the symbology, and they put it in your face all the time, and you know,
right.
My grandpa was a Mason. He was in World War II, and if you're going to go anywhere in the military back then, you had to be a Mason and stuff. And he was just a CB or whatever. He never fought in, like, you know, combat or anything. But
hold on, Vance. I must take a grievance there. He wasn't just a CB.
Well, I didn't, and obviously I didn't mean it that way, Jimmy James. So I'm sorry if that offended you, but I have great respect for my grandfather. But at any rate, at some point he wore a ring. He had a ring with a diamond in it and all that. And at some point, when I was, you know, younger, I asked him about the ring, and he said, you know, well, that's, you know, you're probably too young to understand that right now, and later, you know, maybe I'll, you know, we can get into it or whatever. And, mm-hmm. and at any rate, I don't ever remember him going to any kind of meetings or, you know, anything like this. And I lived with him. My grandparents raised me for, you know, lots, long periods of time in my childhood. At his funeral, they came, the guys from the Freemasons with the little aprons and all that stuff came, and as far as I know, nobody called him and told him he died.
Right.
And then later I found in his closet he had like a 16 to 18 volume of books that were all Freemason stuff, and I never got a chance to read them or anything. But, yeah, you know, the people that are, the majority of the people in that thing aren't necessarily the guys that, you know, that involved in any kind of, you know,
right,
supernatural thing, but there is that core belief in behind it that we're helping society, you know, for the greater good.
But
know?
What we do know about guys like, I got you, but what we do know about guys like your grandfather is they do participate in rituals, which are about their ascension. As they ascend, they earn their degrees. They do participate in rituals that they don't necessarily understand, where they're blindfolded and they have to walk backwards and all kinds of, you know, you're in a box. These different things, which are not supposed to be known by the public at all, but some people have come out and talked about. And even I personally known individuals that were parts of lodges that have shared with me and asked me to never explain who they are. You know, people that I just knew from life who wound up in there. One of my best friends, like his father was a Mason, so at a certain point in his adulthood, he was invited to join, right? And he talked about some of it, but won't talk about all of it, right? So we know bits and pieces about that stuff, and there's something to it, and it's just supposed to be, look, it's our ceremony, no big deal. But then again, some people have other views of that, right? And those books you were talking about finding in the closet, quite frankly, I'm surprised you found them, because usually they come and collect, and yeah, nobody tells anybody that somebody died, and Masons will come and knock and collect the books. That Bible is one of those things that, you know, is not meant to be seen by anybody else. Some of the other books as well. And those things are supposed to be returned to the lodge. Okay, if you're a member of a lodge. Yeah.
I wish I would have kept them, but I really wasn't into this stuff, you know, back when
I understand,
died,
yeah.
Yeah.
But so there is definitely a secret organization there, but there have been many secret organizations. And I got asked on Skype here, so I'll answer it. No, I am not a member of any secret society whatsoever. And the thing about it is, I do know that I've had family members who have been, but not one that you people study. So it doesn't really matter, does it? You know, there's a secret society that for Sicilians, where you wear a black stone in your ring too. It's not Masonry. I'll leave it there. So it happens. And also, don't forget I'm half Irish. So other people in my ancestry have belonged to some of these things, but not so many. Because generally speaking, we're soldiers and we're peelers. And this is what we do. So not usually parts of the people that steer society. Okay. Anyway, well, and criminals as well. Anyways, B. Pete, what are you thinking of this conversation?
I don't know. I'm not much up on the Masonry end of things. I don't know. It's. I think my brother's one.
Hmm.
Not sure. Don't they wear the little aprons?
Yeah, they have
at
the
their
aprons.
Meetings. Yeah.
You know, like you
yeah, I think he's one. I mean, I don't keep up on it. I know there's supposed to be these grand old organizations from way back, you know, when dirt was created, and people scheming, and some of them are shady, some of them are, you know, worse than shady. Who knows?
Well, most of the people I've ever known that belong to any of these organizations are just networking with each other and business people, and again, do some charitable work. And
yeah, I mean, I don't think any of them are out to take over the world through Illuminati practices. I don't know.
Yeah, the majority
I've
of
never
them,
met.
Yeah, I think the majority of the membership is actually just that. But then again, there's an interesting high concentration of these individuals. Like, for instance, when I was applying for a job with the NSA, which I did at a certain point, you know, it was suggested to me
The shipyard was full of them. Yeah, that was one thing about the shipyard. If you wanted to go anywhere, move up the ladder, you had to be a member.
Well, that was the thing. It was suggested to me that if I wanted to have any real security clearance, I should probably at least be a member of a lodge somewhere. That was told to me before my application process was completed. So this was somebody trying to help me. And I've had friends who have worked for those kind of organizations, and they will tell me about the same thing. That, yeah, you get more trusted if you're one of those people, even in those organizations. CIA, NSA, it's a network. So, you know, yeah. It's part of the game. I'm not even saying that I fully understand it because I'm not inside of it. I can tell you about other things I've been inside of, but not that. So, there you go. Anyway, interesting topic here, Nature Boy. We've got about 18 minutes left. And if anybody else wants to call in.
There was something about L. Ron Hubbard I wanted to bring up. You know, the guy,
oh, sure.
In all that he did, I think people look over the Snow White project that doesn't get mentioned much. He basically infiltrated the federal government with over 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. In different departments.
Yeah, I'll give them.
And they waged war.
That was pretty cool.
They waged war against all these agencies by stealing documents and procuring documents that would provide dirt on the other side. And it was kind of amazing how infiltrated the actual government was. I mean, they talk about the Red Scare, back in the 30s and all. When was McCarthy? The 50s?
50s for McCarthy.
It was nothing compared. You know, if they had looked for Scientologists instead of communists, they'd have found a whole lot more people.
Maybe.
Well, that's how they kind of pretty much got their nonprofit status, is strongholding the IRS through various taxes like you just described. It's an interesting story, you know. David Maskovich? I always mess up his name. Chuck, you know what his name is.
There's a few guys. You talking about the guy who's like basically head of it today?
Yeah, he's the one that pretty much was in charge.
Miscavige.
Miscavige.
Miscavige. Yeah.
Sounds like a lot like miscarriage, but we'll get into that. But he was instrumental in bringing it into a nonprofit status.
Yeah.
But by that time, you know, L. Ron was kind of fading out of the scene a lot, and he kind of overtook the church. And, you know, there's kind of like two versions, I guess, I've seen, is you have the L. Ron Hubbard, and then you have the post-L. Ron Hubbard version of the church. They're the same with a lot of tenets, but there's a lot of differences. You know, there's L. Ron Hubbard, when you talk about like the Sea Org and what it was like to be a Sea Org, you had to sign a literal contract for a billion years, so your soul will still be a member of L. Ron Hubbard's Church of Scientology. I mean, I look back on him and I ask, how can he take one person, do this huge organization, which still is hanging around today, but nothing as prevalent as it was before? And I have to say that what allowed him to create this was based upon his knowledge of black magic and ritualistic magic. And he just took that knowledge and wrote a good book, Dianetics, figured out a few things. And next thing you know, we have Scientology, you know, so.
Dianetics.
Yeah.
He lost, he actually lost Dianetics in a bankruptcy. And that's when he started the Church of Scientology.
And see, I would argue that it's not about the black magic. It's actually about psychology. And it is effectively about this concept of high control groups, which have a hierarchy. And all cults, if you examine them, whether it's, you know, even that guy that Flatley talks about all the time there, Gabriel. Now, he's got a very sort of like limited cult, but it's very steady. It hasn't collapsed yet, you know. Or any of these things, it's a high control group. And there are certain psychological elements which are very workable for somebody who has just the right charisma, just the right ability to, you know, bring people in. There are some people that argue that, again, we brought up the Jehovah's Witnesses earlier, right? Those people have even been equated to having a high control group, but basing it in a particular form of Christianity. And many people utilize various forms of Christianity. There is a whole thing which I went over with John Collins years ago about the effective Christian cult that really backed the Klan, in Georgia, right? Mm. And they created the infrastructure that the Klan ran with for, you know, what, a century. And
oh,
you know, well, that also, if you take the Klan, you can also bring it back to Albert Pike. Of course, now we're back to the same place where we started.
Yeah,
with Freemasonry.
Right. Again, with a Freemason who begins that organization, but it was reformed, you understand, with this convergence of, really, it's like what people used to call holy rollers, the Pentecostals, who really, you know, got very deeply into the presentation there, created atmospheres where people, you know,
put on a show,
spontaneously join into the show, right? And
oh, it is, really.
They also staged some of it, as we learned later. But
oh, that's a dating trick around here.
Yeah, no,
that's a dating trick around here. When you know, you meet women, you look for snake bites on their hands.
Well, the funny thing about this is, though, that the snake handlers and this Klan group and Jim Jones at one point are all together in one place, by the way. You know, and then you see them splinter off into their different directions. And remember, you know, Jonestown was based on a whole, you know, socialist sort of utopian dream, right? And he was definitely progressive. I mean, he was integrating his flock and all that. Nope, black people are welcome here. White people are welcome. Sit them together. Bring them together. You know, and he had an angle for the time. And so did these other guys in different subcultural areas. So, of course, Jones winds up in San Francisco and ends up in politics and everything else. Because these people don't just stay in their church, none of them. They spread. And
don't forget about his connections to the CIA and intelligence.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's another interesting aspect. We could have, like, shows on.
But you see, we can go through this whole revolving thing where it's like, look, you can take a look at these different secret societies. You can take a look at different organizations that came together where people claim they sort of came together organically. They're all arranged based on this high control a group paradigm, which is effective, and even worked for the Hale-Bopp people, you know, the Heaven's Gate, you know, clearly it ended the way it did, but, you know, Tea and Doe utilized the very same thing, right?
Right, but, you know, the whole thing about the term occult, you know, when it's stripped down and you take it, all the scary connotations away from
it's
it,
it's just what's hidden.
Yeah. And then what was once called magic is now called technology, psychological technology. I don't care how you slice it and dice it. Yeah. And these are things that these secret societies have known for a long time. Right. And there's, like you said, Chuck, you're never going to know the full level of the knowledge until you have the ring. Very acute statement, by the way. Yeah. And I think that a lot of this goes into ancient knowledge of natural law, which has evolved and kept very tight from almost the existence of man. Now, if you want to go back to where did it come from, that's a whole nother can of worms and rabbit holes to go down, but it's now evolving.
I'll say the Anunnaki.
Right. Well, that goes back to the Sumerian times, and there's also biblical references that go back to the giants, Anunnakis, the fallen angels, which basically mated with a woman. They're like, hey, baby, you're pretty cute. And they get these tall, freaky hybrids that rule the world. God gets pissed off, says you guys are done, brings in the flood, boom, 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 bam. Most of them get knocked out. Some of them survive. And then history and lore has evolved from that. And that's just a Christian perspective. But if you look at different religions,
well, previous to that,
that's the cool thing about that story. That story's in like all three major religions and other religions, right?
A story of a flood, the flood narrative is almost in every religious order that we can study. And, you know, even if you turn around, you start looking at the stuff with Thoth and all that, which, by the way, was another thing that Crowley integrated into this interesting composite that he had, which was not purely Satanism. You know, when you look at Thoth and that history and the history of Atlantis, which is not just, you know, the island, you know, that was in the Greek stories and stuff like this, goes well beyond that. okay, this idea that, and by the way, this is the first time that you get other planets involved and all that, where there were people that came from Mars, literally, or at least spiritually, in some way or other. And then there were this sort of mixing of races that occurred before you get to the Anunnaki. and then they're included in this story, too. Even if you go ahead and get yourself a copy of, say, his tarot deck, the tarot deck that they ascribe to Crowley. There are symbols of Thoth in that illustration and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a whole thing where you got to break these things down one by one. And you also got to remember that there is the influence on society. There's the influence on institutions. And then there are these institutions themselves. And each one of these things, even if you study them all, you don't necessarily know how they converge. Because history is clearly something that is always occult. Because it is never fully revealed, no matter despite the best efforts of anybody. Even the historian who tries to write, I think it was the history of all the Roman emperors, right? You know, he missed some because he didn't have any records to work with, nothing. It's fascinating that what survives today and what we know about these things, and that's another thing which Jimmy James brought up, and I think anybody would agree with, is that there's always going to be these missing pieces, and some of them are intentionally missing, so that you do not fully understand what the roots of all of this is. But it's a fascinating topic, and quite frankly, I don't have enough people to have a discussion with usually that have, like, you know, a serious amount of knowledge that's focused on particular areas. Otherwise, I'd be more than happy. And the only, again, I'm asked about my religious stuff. You know what? I've been inside a bit of a couple of different religious orders that are not part of the mainstream. Met with people from the Temple of Set, you know, definitely have known and interacted with people from the Church of Satan. In my history at certain points. And there is there's a lot more going on there than, again, what Hollywood likes to show you. Okay. Is it, you know, clearly dictating all of society? Like, some people are just, everything is evil. I don't agree with that, but I think that people fail to recognize the influence of, you know, individuals like Crowley. Yeah, you know his name. But there's a whole lot of other people whose names you either barely or vaguely know or think of as one thing when they were actually multiple things. Pike is a great example, by the way, who I'm not sure about the esoteric aspects of a lot of the things that people attribute to Pike. When you want to talk about his organizational skills, his political ideology, that stuff is sort of laid out. But I don't know about his esoteric aspects so well. Me. Maybe somebody else does. But it is a whole world of study that, that again, I mean, is just something that could take a lifetime, I think, to really adequately break down. So we're down to the last 5 minutes or so, B-Pete. I gave you a chance to kind of kick back, too, because you were having a little problem with the pollen. But you want to take us through and give everybody their parting words here for this Friday night?
Yeah, you say, okay, 5 minutes. All right, we're going to make this quick, guys. Jimmy James, the man with a fan. We got any parting words for us?
Is there, I suppose the other shows are still off?
Yeah, Aaron is actually going to take off. Yeah, this week. He's got stuff to do. It's not me who put him off. So, just telling you.
Oh, go another hour. Come on, man.
You know what? If I didn't have to, I would. If I didn't have to get everything ready for a yard sale, actually, in the morning, I'm going to start that at like 6 in the morning. So when I'm done here, I'm going to eat something and set up my stuff to try and make a little money, bro. That's what I'm doing right after I'm done.
All right. That's a pretty darn good reason.
Appreciate that.
Have a good weekend, everyone. And I don't know. Have a good weekend.
Well, we hope
All right.
Hope you do.
We're going to try to have a good weekend. Should be a good weekend. The weather's supposed to be good everywhere. We're getting rain in overnight, and it's moving on out. Vance still with us?
still here.
So, any parting words to get us through the weekend?
Oh, let's see. Yeah, it's supposed to be nice weather this weekend, and just try to find something to be happy about, and we'll worry about this stuff after.
There you go. Vanarchy himself, and hopefully he's still Vance-tastic. That leaves you with Nature Boy as far as callers, because that's all we got this this Friday.
Yeah, Nature Boy, what you got to get us through the weekend?
Well, we're going to have some beautiful weather tomorrow. It's supposed to rain. Thank the good Lord above. We are in California after all, so we'll take it when we can get it. And we've been talking about a lot of dark, phony, freaky stuff, but the one thing that's not freaky is the Ocelli effect. So all of y'all out there listening, thank you. You are intelligent, smart people, and that's why you choose to listen to the Ocelli effect. But if you have an extra few dollars, you can do a monthly membership, sign up, help out Chuck, so we can keep bringing you this interesting information and conversations that most likely this is the only place you're going to find them. And I hope you all have a good weekend. Hope you had a good week. VP, Vance, of course, our fan club leader, Jimmy James, and Mr. Chuck. It was great talking to you, and I hope you have a good night. It's Friday after all, gentlemen.
I absolutely appreciate that. And look, my apologies to people who were misdirected when they clicked on a link recently and were sent to some Bitcoin site that also sold ED pills. That has nothing to do with anything I designed. Apparently, there's some contamination of the code. And hopefully in the next few days when we move to the Linux cloud, that will just disappear. And hopefully everything will run better. But I guess it remains to be seen. So, BP, you've got a couple minutes. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I hope everybody has a good weekend, a productive weekend, even if it's your main goal is to do nothing. Hope you're very productive. I'd like to thank all the callers. This show revolves around them, and they step up. But we need more. So, you know, if somebody's thinking of calling in, go ahead and take advantage of it. We'll be here next week. I'm looking forward to it. I know Chuck's looking forward to it. Chuck, do you know anything about Bob Wilson's program on Sunday?
You know what? I don't know what's coming up. I know he did a good one this past Sunday with a JFK guy whose name escapes me at the moment. I hope everybody enjoyed actually all the programming this week because we went, you know, full on. We even had Donald Jeffries back. And we're missing Aaron because he's taking care of some business and might not return until the beginning of April. So not in my control, but I'm going to look to have a few things heated up and maybe some new shows around my birthday, which is coming up April 7th. So somewhere in there, look for some new shows on Ocelli.com, getting things fired up again as quick as I can and trying to give you guys, you know, different stuff every night. I think we've succeeded. We had an interesting journalist on Monday. We had Lano Sanic, and of course, we had Captain Trips at a certain point. We had, good God, who was the second hour guest on Tuesday? I'm trying to think here. It was somebody who came in and it was really helpful. Oh, man. Anyways, good stuff with Nurse Landers there on Wednesday and Captain Trips. Thursday we had Larry Hancock and Mike Swanson, of course, and yeah, we're going to be just fine without having to go on that other network. Okay. But of course, you'll have to stay tuned to Ocelli.com to find out about all that. And we're going to just go forward, and we do it with your support, guys. Definitely and especially at this time, so I appreciate it. Anyways, something else you want to say, BP?
No. Sorry. Oh, that was the beef teriyaki for dinner.
No worries. Hey, look, I'm jealous of that. I'm going to go have something to eat. I'm probably going to have a tomato sandwich. All right. Anyways.
There you go.
That and getting ready for the yard sale. And I'll let you know how that goes on Monday. Maybe we'll see what we're scheduling because things are a little up in the air, but don't worry. We'll do our best to give you the best that we can here at Ocelli.com. Thanks to all you for listening. Thanks, me, Pete, for co-hosting with me. Thank you, Nature Boy, for being part of it. Vance, and, of course, the great Jimmy James. Anyways, thank all of you for listening. After all, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.